Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read just one verse this evening as the text for this lesson. I've got a number of things I'd like to talk about this evening and share with you, and so we'll get right to it. Ephesians chapter 4, and it's actually verse 32, which is a familiar verse to probably most everyone. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We got another one here. Okay, and that one has a green light on. Forgiveness, thank you. Forgiveness is not an easy thing. More often, we're thinking, instead of forgiveness, we're thinking about justification. And what I mean by that is that we forgive because somebody decides they want to get right, they want to make things right, and they apologize, or if they stole something from us, they return it, and so then we'll forgive them. And that's not technically forgiveness, that's justification. Justification, making things right. And a person is justified when we want to acknowledge that we want to call that forgiveness when it's not actually. And in that sense, God forgives differently than we do. God cannot forgive unless there is justification. In other words, the sin has to be covered in order for there to be forgiveness. And I'm just so thankful that Christ paid for every sin, because that's the only way that God can justify, and that's the only way that we can be truly forgiven. For us, on the other hand, we forgive without justifying. We don't insist on things being right and things being paid for in order for us to forgive. Forgiveness for us is just being willing to let go of it. And I'm thankful that the Lord justifies fully, but for God, the sin must be justified. And since we cannot, you know, pass judgment or bring condemnation down on somebody, we just forgive. And so there's a difference there, the way that God forgives and the way man forgives. And recall this verse that we've just read: God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness is different, but in some ways it's the same, because those who are saved have all been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. People who are truly saved, and so they're justified as well. But I want us to consider the subject of forgiveness tonight and realize that we have an important mandate that's placed upon us here relative to forgiveness. The Bible says, "Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And the first thing that we would notice about forgiveness is that it is rooted in love and kindness. Forgiveness is rooted in love and kindness. It's not rooted in justification. And somebody who insists on justifying things in their mind, and they've got to make things right or else I won't forgive them, is not forgiving biblically, has the wrong spirit. Because real forgiveness is rooted in love and kindness. Note verse 31 in this text: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And verse 31 here mentions bitterness and wrath, which is indignation or fierceness, and anger is punishment or vengeance, and clamor is tumult, and evil speaking is vilification, making a person appear to be evil. The Bible says put away those things, put away that evil speaking, put away malice, which is badness or malignity. And these are natural to the human condition. Vengeance, and badness and meanness and malice and you know, indignation. These are all natural to the human condition. But God changes the human heart when we get saved and causes us to be different than that. So we don't have to continue on that way. These are natural to the human condition, but they're not godliness. But kindness and forgiveness are godly. A kindly spirit is willing to overlook attacks, even out-and-out attacks. Have you been out-and-out attacked by somebody? Godly forgiveness makes you willing to overlook that and just forgive it and let it go instead. And that's not an easy thing to do, but that's what forgiveness is all about. This word means the word tender-hearted, forgiving one. Tender-hearted means full of pity. Ask God to give you pity for those who struggle with meanness or malice. And somebody who struggles with meanness and malice is under the control of their flesh, by the way. That's not of the Spirit. Meanness and malice are of the flesh, not the Spirit. And the Bible says, put those away and be kind to one another and tenderhearted and forgive each other and ask God to give you a forgiving spirit. Now go back to James chapter 5 with me, or a little further on actually. James chapter 5 verse 7. James chapter 5 verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. That's a powerful statement. Grudge not against one against another, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The patience of Job, pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, you remember what the Bible says was the turning point for Job? The Bible says God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Those people who are falsely accusing him, who are accusing him, oh, you must be wicked, you must just be covering it up, otherwise these bad things wouldn't happen to you the way they do. His so-called friends were condemning and attacking him. And the Bible says God turned things around in Job's life when he prayed for his friends. He forgave them for their malice and for their meanness, and for their malignity and all those other things that they were doing against him. Now go back and look quickly to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 9. Psalm 145, 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. We're talking about tender-heartedness and a forgiving spirit. And the Bible says that God's tender mercies are over all his works, and he's good to all. Forgiveness is rooted in love and kindness. And I came across something that I want to share with you. I want to just read to you. It's from this book that I've referred to a couple of times recently by Dr. Rick Carter, who pastors Beth Haven Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. This is about seizing triumph from trials in the book of Genesis. And he writes this about forgiveness. The devil loves to bind us in anger and unforgiveness that can only happen as long as we allow our pride to keep us from humbling ourselves to God and one another. There is not an offense that God cannot cover. The Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this is in the context of Joseph's brothers doing evil to him. The Bible tells us that there's not an offense that God cannot cover. In the trials we face, we have the choice of anger at the people or circumstances, or humility to God. In the past, the brothers of Joseph had chosen the first. They had chosen anger when they had sold him into slavery. They had chosen bitterness when they cast him into the pit. Yet here we see that they had learned that these responses did them no spiritual good. It was not profitable for them at all. They only cost them. Their anger and bitter response when they took things out on Joseph cost them a relationship with their father. Let me tell you this. You may think that you can contain the responses to trials to certain individuals, but you cannot. You don't know what other people it will spill over to if you yield to the flesh. You don't know what it might cost you in your relationship to God. You cannot judge that. And we are ignorant of the devil's device. Even though we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, we do not have to blindly follow the desires and feelings of the flesh. But we can make the choice of humility to put it away. The wonderful thing about God is that His grace is sufficient to change our hearts. His grace is sufficient to change our feelings and our hurts and bind us up if we are submitted to Him. And I could read more and more of that. But it's very good about forgiveness. And the fact of the matter is, when we have an unforgiving spirit, the only person we're hurting typically is ourselves. And that's true for bitterness. I've challenged someone just recently over the subject of bitterness. When you allow yourself to be bitter against someone, they probably don't even know about it. They just go on with their life. They don't care. And you're the one that's eaten up with the bitterness. You're the one who's hurt because of it. Just commit that to the Lord and ask God to give you a forgiving spirit that you'd be able to deal with that issue, at least for your own sake of your relationships and your relationship with God. More importantly, it requires humility. Where there is anger, there is not humility. Where there's an unforgiving spirit, there's not humility. And where there are where there is forgiveness and the willingness to let go of it, there is humility. And so we can mend our relationship with others and with God in that sense. Forgiveness is rooted in love and kindness. The second principle is this. Remember, it's God's loving kindness that allows us to be forgiven. And the loving kindness of God is the thing that causes us to be willing to be forgiven in the first place. We wouldn't be forgiven at all, if not for God's loving kindness. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. God gives us the example of this, of being kind one to another and tender-hearted, because in the sense that He has forgiven us. Matthew 18:21 says, "Then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven." In other words, let go of it. It doesn't matter how many times. And what is 70 times seven? Well, it's 490. Should I forgive him seven times? No, forgive him 500 times. In other words, don't even put a limit on it. Just be willing to forgive. And aren't you glad, if you're here tonight and you're saved, aren't you glad God doesn't keep track? We'd all be in a woeful state if He did. You know, eternal security, which is what the Bible teaches, the eternal security of the believer would not be possible if God kept track of our sins. But the Bible says He has removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. He's put them behind His back, never to be remembered against us again. What a blessing. That's the only way that we can be right with God, is because of His loving kindness and His forgiving spirit. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You say, well, yeah, that's God. It's not so easy for me to forgive. I understand that it's not necessarily easy to forgive. And I said that the first statement I made is that forgiveness is not an easy thing. But it's mandated in the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And some people look at that passage of Scripture and they rub their hands together and say, oh boy, I'm going to heap coal of fire on his head. I'm going to get back at him. I'm going to make him feel real bad by being kind to him, my enemy. And that's not what this is about. This is about forgiveness. God states this as a fact, but it's not a motivation. It's not the reason why we do good to our enemies. The Bible says, feed your enemy, give him to drink. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's how the chapter ends. To overcome evil with good, not be overcome by evil. And if we have that kind of a motive, I'm going to be nice to this person to make him feel bad, we are being overcome of evil. Rather than extending to that person loving kindness and grace and mercifulness. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Colossians 3:12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And we have so many other verses we could read on this subject. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, not rendering evil for evil, 3:8-9, be all of one mind, have compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Isn't it hard not to render evil for evil? I'm going to get even, I'm going to pay them back. That's hard not to do that, because that's what we are in the flesh. We are vengeful, malicious sinners. That's what we are in the flesh. But the Spirit of God, if he dwells inside of you, is strong enough to overrule that natural tendency. And that's why Christ calls his children to be forgiving. And a good question is, does that person that has offended me, does that person deserve forgiveness? That's not even a legitimate question. It's not a matter of whether they deserve to be forgiven or not. Forgiveness doesn't ask to justify in our situation. Forgiveness is just forgiveness. And if they deserved it, they probably wouldn't need it. If somebody deserved forgiveness, we'd probably say they don't need forgiveness because they're being nice, because they're so nice that they deserve something good. That's not the issue. It's not the issue of whether somebody deserves our forgiveness or not. They probably don't. But you know what? You don't deserve forgiveness either. And I don't deserve forgiveness either. But God in his loving kindness and his mercy and his graciousness has allowed us to be forgiven. Christ forgave, and so do we forgive. And if possible, we make things right. One third principle about forgiveness is this. Experiencing forgiveness allows us to extend forgiveness. And Ephesians 4:32, back at that passage of Scripture again, that verse says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And the implication in Ephesians 4:32 is that you have been forgiven. And so a good question is, are you forgiven? Are you sure? If you're a person who always feels malicious and angry and like you're going to get even, and you have hatred in your heart toward people who have wronged you somehow, are you sure you've been forgiven? Because somebody who's been forgiven is able to extend forgiveness, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, they mistreated me. You know what? That's what the world is all about. People are always mistreating people. that happens commonly? And why do you expect not ever to feel like you've been mistreated? Everybody is. Most people just roll with the punches, though. They just accept it as part of life. The fact of the matter is, when we experience forgiveness, we can extend forgiveness. And if someone just cannot or will not forgive, it's a legitimate question to ask, have they experienced forgiveness themselves? If all they can do is remember offenses and hold a grudge, have they truly experienced forgiveness themselves? Because you have to know forgiveness to be able to extend forgiveness. And if you're an angry, malicious, and unforgiving person, a good question to ask yourself is, have I ever experienced God's forgiveness? Do I know anything about forgiveness? And why can't I forgive? It's still all about me. It's still all about me. It's about me. My life's about me. That's why I can't forgive, because my life's all about me. I want to challenge you with the idea of forgiveness and with the idea that God wants to forgive. I think it's notable that in less than the last 6 months, we've had 6 church members saved. Some of them have been baptized already. A young man was saved on this past Sunday. 6 church members, some of them long-term church members, have been saved in the last 6 months, less than 6 months. And don't discontinue your praying for a spirit of revival here. Don't continue. If you've been one who's been fasting and praying, don't discontinue that now. We need God. God is working. We need your prayers, and keep on praying and asking God to do a great work among us. Amen? And part of that is forgiveness. And I suspect that there are more people here even tonight who still need God's forgiveness. Maybe you would say, yeah, I have an awful hard time forgiving anybody else. Maybe that's because you've never been forgiven. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You forgive as Christ forgave you. And then, you see, we have something we can relate to. We can understand that. Oh yeah, Christ forgave me and I didn't deserve it. So I can forgive somebody else who doesn't deserve it. That's what forgiveness is all about for us. And may God give us a forgiving spirit, and a spirit that would be kind, tender-hearted, and exemplifying the love of Christ, not with bitterness or malignity or malice or evil speaking, as verse 31 talks about all these things, not with a vengeful spirit, but rather tender-hearted and forgiving in our spirit. Realizing, you know what, that person probably in so many ways is just like me. And God forgave me. So I can forgive too, by God's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us.